It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, a good Monday morning to y'all. Welcome into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network, and we're so pleased that you join us. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. I kind of had a restful weekend. I tried to actually just kind of lay around and be lazy a little bit and not work too much, watch a little bit of racing, and it was very pleasant. Very pleasant. I hope everybody had a pleasant weekend. Got a busy show for you today. We got to debut some new song parodies. I'm actually doing a bit of a medley today. Instead of just one long song, it's kind of a three-part medley, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Also, we're going to be debuting a new segment called Meet the Tweeter. And Twitter, I've always said, is one of the best things that's happened to racing in some ways. It really has given people a network of thousands and thousands of racing fans to interact and talk. And, you know, it kind of, after a big race like Songbird, we're going to talk about her in just a minute. But after a big race like that, you know, the feedback, it's instantaneous. It's essentially like hanging out with your closest 500 or 600 friends after the races or at the races, and you know, like you're in the bar, and so it's added. It's made watching the races at home in your room a social event, which is kind of cool. There's certainly some downsides to it, but what I wanted to do with the Meet the Tweeter thing was, you know, we have guests on the show all the time who people throughout the industry know, but I thought Meet the Tweeter could be fun to just introduce everyday racing fans who are on Twitter, who are active on Twitter, and, you know, introduce you to the person behind the tweets. So we're going to be joined for the debut segment of that a little bit later on by Andy Forminio, who you can find on Twitter at @aform3. Andy's a Jersey guy, so we'll talk a little bit of Jersey racing and his background and, you know, people he likes on Twitter, and just kind of, you know, let you put a voice and a name or a person with the name that you see on social media. So I think that'll be a little bit of fun. Later on, again, the song parody's coming up, and Meet the Tweeter a little bit later on. But first, we got to get to my pick three.
Welcome.
Let's go.
It's time for the pick three.
Three, two, one.
Discussing Jason's top three stories of the week.
All right, so pick three time, and, you know, we'd be remiss every time it seems like Songbird runs to not talk about just how fantastic she continues to be. Here's the Santa Isabel from Saturday with the brilliant call by Michael Rona.
Mo third, but under heavy persuasion, followed by Land Oversea, who's making up a little ground. At the head of the others, Mo Cat creeping through, fifth towards the inside, but Songbird is about five in front of the quarter pole. Songbird turning for home by six lengths and still being cuddled by Mike Smith. Jade Princess second, being joined on the outside by Land Oversea, but he hasn't breathed on the undefeated champion, the filly. Songbird past the eighth pole by a half dozen lengths. Land Oversea is second. She's giving game but fruitless pursuit. It's all Songbird. She's got them beaten to a frazzle. How'd you like to earn 60 grand as easily as this? Songbird wins by, well, whatever she felt like. Second home in the race, Land Oversea from Mocat and Jade Princess.
So Songbird, once again, just brilliant, and as much as she likes, turned out to be 3 3/4 lengths. She was six in front in mid-stretch and was just completely geared down, and you know, there's the age old. I always joke after any time there's, you know, one of these big horses run, yeah, but who did she beat? And, you know, we don't know who she beat, but I mean, she beat Land Oversea, who once again ran a very nice second behind Songbird and was 3 1/2 lengths clear of third, who was Mocat. So Land Oversea has just kind of continued to plunk away, and I wonder if, you know, maybe she'll follow her once again into the Santa Anita Oaks, which is a $400,000 race coming up in a few weeks. But, I mean, I don't know what else you can really say about Songbird. She just, I was kind of, my real hope for this race was that somebody would push her a little bit early on. Kent DeSormo tried with Not Now Carolyn. Jade Princess was up close early on as well. And I thought going on the far turn, I thought Kent was going to just try to make a bold, bold move after the lead. And he didn't, and Songbird just kind of held that one length advantage and then does what she does every time, and she just buries them on the turn. I mean, just absolutely breaks their hearts as they go on that turn, as she's just cruising and pulling away, and they're getting pushed on and pushed on. And I think Michael Rona said it was fruitless, and it was very fruitless. It was vegetableless, fruitless, meatless, whatever. They were not kind of going to get her. But the question was asked, you know, I keep saying I want somebody to push her, but the question now might be, can anybody push her? Because, you know, it's not like she's going 23-1, 46 flat. She went 22-4 during that second quarter mile, and, you know, then 23-4, and then 26 for that last quarter. But, I mean, she was, you know, she was under a hammer lock down the stretch. So that fraction is a little bit askew as far as, you know, how fast she could really go. But, you know, I just don't right now. Who's going to push her early? Somebody has to. I've been a huge member of the Catherine Sophia train, and I continue to stay on that train. But I'm starting to worry that Catherine Sophia can't just do that on her own. It's going to require somebody to go out there and go with Songbird, because I mean she just is so fast early. And in the middle stages and late, and you know, she kind of has that similar American Pharoah style running where you can have early speed. I'm sure she can stalk. I don't have any. If some goofball horse went out in the Kentucky Oaks and went 22-2, I don't have any. I have no qualms that Songbird can't sit back in second or third and then make a move and just crush everybody. What I want to see is if, you know, maybe somebody pushes her and stays right on her neck. You know, I mean, I don't know that staying on her hip is going to do much to her, but if somebody kind of just goes neck and neck with her for a while, I just at least want to see her shrug off somebody and then bury him on the turn like she does. But I joked yesterday, I said, you know, come October, I'll be the idiot who's still saying, nope, they're going to go with her this time and they're going to beat her. And she'll have won six straight races while I said that. So, I mean, you know, the accolades that I can, you know, give her on my dumb radio show or, not even close to what she deserves. But Mike Smith, Michael Rona, I saw tweeted out yesterday that he was at the Derby restaurant and he was going to have the Mike Smith for dinner because he said, you know, after Songbird's wonderful performance, I may as well. So, but other than that, I don't think we learned a whole lot in the Santa Isabel. I think we learned that Land Overseas is a good little horse, and we learned that Songbird's the best 3-year-old filly in the country right now, and many are arguing the best 3-year-old. And that's one of the things I'll talk about in the song parodies coming up a little later. But that's the first part of our pick three is Songbird and just how magnificent she has been. So number two in my pick three, we talked about the Gotham Stakes last week with Jason Blewett. It was the feature for the Kentucky Derby prep this weekend, and a reminder about that Road to the Kentucky Derby promo we have going on. If you had a $10 to $25 win ticket on the winner of the Gotham Stakes, and that horse does make it to the Kentucky Derby, we'll match that bet for you in the Kentucky Derby. And who won the Gotham Stakes, you might ask? Well, let's let our friend Travis Stone tell us.
Turn they go. Lauban is the leader. Here comes Sunny Ridge on the outside, putting in a bid up to be second. Shagoff is making progress toward the inside, now third. Adventist angles to the far outside, back into fourth. Rally Cry's losing ground while fifth. Conquest Big E is wide off the turn, and Vincento, as they hit the top of the stretch, Lauban trying to see it out, turning for home in front. Sunny Ridge on the outside to the attack. Shagoff swings wide for the stretch, drive two. Adventist is coming down the center of the track as well. One furlong left. Lauban down inside, narrow lead. Sunny Ridge fights on. Shagoff keeps on grinding away. So to Adventist on the far outside. 16th to go. Lauban's trying to see it out. 16th left. Here comes Shagoff with a final surge. A final surge to win the Gotham. Shagoff the winner. Lauban was second. Adventist was third. And Sunny Ridge was fourth.
So Shagoff with a nice win to run his career record now, 3-for-3. And the big story and conversation piece out of that race, I don't think a lot of people thought it was the best addition to the Gotham they've ever seen, but the rail and the speed bias at Aqueduct was out in full form, and you had Lauban, who was actually bet down a little bit. I think might have been 20-1 on the morning line, went off at 15-1. Might have been 15-1 on the morning line, but regardless, a maiden going against grade three types here, and was on the lead and went a reasonable pace, you know, 23-1, 47 flat, 111 and 3-for-3/4. But Aaron Grider and Lauban just dug in on that rail, and it was just so hard to pass. And Shagoff, Travis might use the perfect term for it, just kept grinding and eventually wore that one down. And I think that this race is kind of at least initially gotten a lot of not great respect and, you know, people talking that highly about it. But I think that, you know, Shagoff, the only horse that kind of ran on from far back was Adventist. Sunny Ridge, I thought, ran okay. You know, kind of got a little bit tired late, but was kind of, you know, out on the outside and three wide, which was not the place to be. And so I think that this race might actually turn out to be okay. I think Lauban is one you can chuck going forward, but, you know, the horse has now picked up some Kentucky Derby points and had some before, I believe. So, you know, we could very well see a maiden in the Kentucky Derby if he were to run a good second in the next, you know, the Wood Memorial, or I think they actually said he might go to the Bluegrass Stakes. Andy Serling said on Twitter, does, you know, Eric Guillot realize that the Keeneland doesn't have the inside speed bias they used to? And, I had joked that Guillot probably would have said after the race, speed bias, nah, man, the dirt was, it was deep on the inside. He ran against the bias just to kind of hassle everybody. But, the PR person and the entertainment person in me is really rooting for Eric Guillot to have a horse in the Kentucky Derby, just from a comedy perspective, because he is a no-filter kind of dude, which are always the most entertaining when it comes to – I mean, can you imagine him on the Derby, if he wins the Derby afterwards with Bob Costas on the podium? Well, Bob, let me tell you something. Just going off like a rocket about, you know, how great his horse is, how great he is. And it would be worth the price of admission. Conquest Big E was a little bit of a disappointment. He was wide as well. And I'm sure that that could be, you know, something that can be, you know, his excuse, so to speak. But I don't know. I think this race will actually turn out to be a little bit better than people are thinking it is right now. And the third part of our pick three, we're going to go overseas and talk about the third part of the Mock Tomb Challenge, which featured Mubtahij and Keen Ice, among others. But it was a special fighter who went wire to wire in that race. And that was another case of a track that tended to be favoring speed yesterday. A lot of folks who really follow the Dubai racing closely were saying that they thought it was actually one of the more speed-friendly or speed-bias, you know, if you want to use the word, tracks that they've had made on in recent memory. And Special Fighter went right to the lead and just never looked back. Looked very strong down the stretch, really stretched him out down the lane. Mubtahij finished fourth, and Keen Ice beat one home and was not even close. And Keen Ice's connection said they're going to, you know, stick it out and go for the Dubai World Cup. So, you know, apparently they're hoping that that was just a throw out and not indicative of his potential on the big night, but he's going to also have to deal with California Chrome, amongst others. I said it on Friday, and I've said it before, I still think Mubtahij is just tremendously overrated and overplayed and thought of. I think sometimes he's just thought of highly because he came over for the Derby and stuff, but I've never gotten the fascination with him. His win in the UAE Derby was impressive, and it was, you know, one of those ones where he pulled away from everybody else, and so I think it just looks so flashy that people are waiting for that to happen again, and I just don't see it. You know, I made a pretty big proclamation on Twitter yesterday, if he wins the Dubai World Cup, I have to, his trainer Mike DeCock, I have to write on my forehead for an entire day, I doubted DeCock, and put it in big black print on my forehead, and I will do that if Mubtahij wins the Dubai World Cup, because I'll be absolutely astonished if he does. I don't get it. And this Evil Seabass, who we have on the show in the jury, a handicapper I respect greatly, he was even saying yesterday, he's like, oh, this is perfect. It means the price is going to be bigger, Dubai World Cup night. Perfect setup. And then, you know, we heard Mike Dukakis yesterday saying, I don't know what happened. I don't know why he didn't run on, da 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 da. And so he didn't sound nearly as confident as Evil Seabass did. But nonetheless, the march to the Dubai World Cup continues. Don't forget, if you like playing those races from Dubai, or if you haven't and you want to check them out, we have free tip sheets and past performances available at BetAmerica.com. They usually come out Wednesday morning, and you can get those free from BetAmerica.com. And we also do a live blog during the races from Dubai on Thursday. So there's a lot of really cool action as the Dubai Carnival rolls on. It's such a fun I kind of got into it a few years ago, but originally it was just the World Cup. That was all I cared about. But as you go, the entire carnival, it's a lot of fun. The races go by quick. It's bright and early on Thursday mornings. It's a great way to kind of, you know, start your day, have some fun, bet some really, really high-end racing. And there's usually only seven races, or maybe eight, so that, you know, they kind of hammer through them, and it's about a three-hour card, and, you know, it's not one of those long, drawn-out, you know, 15-race megathons like we have here in the States on our big days. But I don't know. It's a lot of fun. And so you can check all that out at betamerica.com. Don't forget, find us on Twitter at betamerica. And you can always email this show, barn@betamerica.com. So we're going to head out to our first break. When we come back, we're going to debut some new song parodies. And we're doing a medley this week, not just one, but a medley of three. And we'll hear those after we come back from this break. It's the Bet America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Kayla Strah, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
All right, welcome back into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network, and it's a song parody time. We debuted the Turf Paradise one last week, and so I tried something different. I've never shied away from saying that I come from the Howard Stern School of Radio, and one of the things that the great Howard Stern does better than anybody on radio is song parodies, and I've always noticed that he has them real quick. They're usually just one little half a verse and the chorus from whatever song, and so along those lines, but he'll do five or six on the same subject. So along those lines, I thought, well, let's try that with Songbird, because I had the idea for one, and it was going to do James Taylor Carly Simon song Mockingbird, which we'll play here in a second, and then I thought to myself, well, there's a lot of songs with bird in the title. And so there's a Mockingbird one with Songbird here we're going to play in a minute. After that, we'll play Freebird Songbird, a little Skinnerd for you on a Monday morning. I know everybody loves a little Skinnerd on a Monday. And then the Beatles, Blackbird Songbird. And so we'll play them in that order here. And again, we're just trying to have some fun. We've had 99.9% positive response to these song parodies, and we hope to continue that rate of people who seem to be enjoying them for the harmless fun that they are. So here's the first one. It's to the, of course, the James Taylor and Carly Simon classic, Mockingbird.
Song, yeah, song, yeah, bird, yeah. Yeah, yeah, a songbird, yeah. Everybody, have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna skip the Kentucky Derby.
No Kentucky Derby.
And when she goes into the Oaks, her rivals will all say, holy smokes.
Holy smokes!
And when she gets loose on that lead, Catherine Sophia will wish she had early speed.
Catherine has some speed.
Yeah, that's why I keep on telling everybody, yeah, Songbird, yeah.
So that's the Mockingbird version of Songbird. And the next one is to the famously great Lynyrd Skynyrd song. Now, this song is, Freebird, is about 12 minutes long with 80 minutes of guitar solo. So I took all the fluff out that Ronnie Van Zant and the boys did, and we got right down to business with the Songbird Freebird, which here it is.
If I bet you tomorrow, will I even get one tonight? 'Cause I just need to find a winner, and you seem like the single of all time. She's the top three-year-old filly, and her races bring many people joys. But one thing we all want to see from Songbird is to run against the boy.
All right, so that was Free Songbird, and the final of our medley of song parodies today is to the wonderful Beatles song Blackbird, and it's Blackbird Songbird.
Songbird going to the early lead. All these races seem to have no other speed. At any time, I just keep on waiting for someone to give her a hard time. Songbird going to the early lead. Hopefully the Kentucky Oaks will have other speed. So Catherine Sophia can pass her down the home stretch and I can make some green. Songbird fly, songbird fly.
That was my delicate singing voice there at the end. So I hope everybody enjoys the song pairs. Everybody seems to be, with the exception of one or two folks. So I really appreciate everybody's kind support and nice words about them. And I hope you continue to join. If you have ideas for song parodies, I try not to be one of those people who is just opposed to everybody else's ideas and just does myself. So email me, barn@betamerica.com, or you can get in hold of us on Twitter, @BetAmerica. So we're going to head out to a break. When we come back, it's a new segment, Meet the Tweeter. Twitter's a great medium. If you're not on there, you should check it out. And if you are on there, let's meet somebody new from the Twitter world, and we'll do that after this short timeout.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, thank you, Chantel, for bringing us back. It's the Bet America Radio Network. Good to see Chantel back riding at Santa Anita, and we talked with Kayla Straw a few weeks ago, who was making her comeback, and Chantel as well making a comeback to the races. So they were both two exciting faces on the scene there in the early 2010s, and so it's great to see them both back and doing their thing. Oh, what's that? What's that I hear?
It's time for Meet the Tweeter.
All right, and that music means it's time for Meet the Tweeter, and I've long said Twitter is one of the great things about horse racing because it's created a massive instant community, and the feedback is instant, and you talk with people all the time, and when you're on there a lot, you become close to these people, but you kind of don't know them. And so I thought, well, this would be an interesting way to get to know some of the folks on Twitter. So my guest for Meet the Tweeter today is Andy Forminio. You can find him at @aform3. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning. Thanks, Jason.
Andy, I look at your Twitter profile. It says Jersey Strong. I once hit a pick three for 420, and away they go. So you're a Jersey racing guy.
Yeah. I'm. I'm 20 minutes from Monmouth Park, so I consider that my home track. I play the Naira Circuit a lot, and I'm actually one of those Jersey guys who likes Cali racing. So I do enjoy playing, Santa Anita and Del Mar when they're going.
So you said Monmouth Park, and I've always wanted to go there. It's kind of one of the few big tracks I haven't been to yet. Everybody says it's just a fantastic facility.
It is. It's underrated, man. They do a good job. They were down and out for a couple of years, and Dennis took over, and it's good. It's a family atmosphere. It's BYOB, so you can pull coolers in. There's families out there. There's kids. And the racing isn't that bad. They've shortened the meet, and they've enhanced the quality.
Did you go to the Breeders' Cup the year it was there?
No. I did not, but I did bet it. And I'm actually glad I didn't make it out there because it was a monsoon.
Yeah, I had some friends that were there, and they said the track was lovely and all that stuff. He goes, but it was just misery.
Yeah, it was. I played the card, but it was bad luck. You know, Monmouth, I think, takes a bad rap for that, and it was totally out of their control.
Yeah. Andy Forminio joining us here. You can find him at Aform3 in our new segment here, Meet the Tweeter. And, Andy, I'm sure you watched some of the big races yesterday. What did you think about Songbird and Chagoff and the big races yesterday?
Songbird was a paid workout. Yeah. I think that's what everybody anticipated. I'm looking forward to her. You know, I'm one of those guys who thinks she should probably run in the Oaks. Uh-huh. and take on the girls and then see what develops from there. You know, they can always take on the boys a little later down the line. The Oaks is a prestigious race. Let her take on the females, and she wants to go the route of the males later on down the year, let her try.
I'm curious to see if maybe they kind of try to, like, if she wins the Oaks, you know, and obviously, you know, Catherine Sophia, there's some other horses that can run and test her. You know, I think if she wins the Oaks, I wonder if maybe they try the Preakness, if maybe the Derby winner is, you know, kind of not that fantastic, you know, because the year Rachel did it, it was Mind That Bird, and I think it was kind of obvious it was a little bit ripe for the picking that year.
Yeah, I agree. I can see that. I can see that definitely happening, going the way of the Preakness, and you know, later on down the line, there's the Traverse. You know, there's the Haskell.
There's
Raps too.
Yeah, and the Haskell's usually kind to front runners too.
Yeah. Absolutely. In recent, you know, Bayern recently. I know it's up in Gate to Wire, and it typically is. Typically is a little bit of a speed favor in course, yeah.
Andy Forminio joining us here on Meet the Tweeter. You can find him at Aform3. Andy, who are some of your favorite racing folks to follow on Twitter?
There's this guy, Jason Bean. He's
pretty
cool.
Yeah, of course,
cool.
Of course, yes.
The Raider fan, Jason the Man, SJ Horse Report, Andrew Calvano. I'm a St. John's grad. Andrew goes to St. John's right now. He's a young handicapper. He's really good at what he does. You know, he follows the Naira circuit really well. I enjoy the follow there with him. I like following some of those Cali guys, Jeff Siegel, some of the DRF guys, you know, Matt Bernier, Mike Watchmaker. So a little bit of young and old on the handicapping side.
That's kind of one of the beauties of the whole thing is, I mean, I think it's been really good for young people to kind of show the, because, you know, it is hard to kind of break into the industry sometimes and get a voice, and it's given, you know, some young handicappers very much a voice, and they get a chance to earn their respect.
Yeah, they do. They get their word out there. They put their selections out there, and it's just a good sport to get into, man. It's a nice, you know, putting the puzzle together, taking the time to handicap the races. And then opinions are, you know, you take a look at Twitter and you look at the opinions and you take them for what you want. You know, there's characters out there. There's guys who know what they're talking about. It's an excellent medium just to kind of take a look at what you think the race is, how the race is going to go in, and kind of judge it against some of the guys who you think know what they're talking about or follow a specific circuit. And it can enhance your selections. It could help you out.
Andy Forminio joining us here on for just another minute here on Meet the Tweeter. You can find him at Aform3. Andy, how'd you get into horse racing?
Two words, my dad.
Yeah.
You know, when I was young, I followed my dad around. I stumbled upon a Polaroid a couple of years ago where it couldn't have been any, you know, it was early 80s. I couldn't have been any more than 10. And we were up at Saratoga. And there's a picture of him holding a racing form. And I'm standing right next to him with the program. And, you know, we did the OTB thing. And we used to, go to Meadowlands on Friday and Saturday night. We used to drive to the Meadowlands and watch Hollywood Park on a Friday night over there. And then, bet the Meadowlands, watch the Meadowlands. My friends wanted to hang out with other friends. I just wanted to go to the track with my dad. it kind of rubbed off on me at an early age. And I enjoy the sport. I enjoy handicapping the sport. I enjoy betting on the sport. But I like the sport, you know. I like gambling, but it's one of those things where you gamble and you feel like you have a, you know, if you do some homework, you have a chance to actually do well.
Everybody always, you know, they sit and have the conversation. How do we get more people out of track? How do we get new fans and stuff like that? And I always say, have kids, because everybody I know who's a real serious fan, it's because their mom or dad or grandma or grandpa took them to the track.
Yeah, I got two girls, young girls, and I don't know if I can steal them in that way.
Yeah, well, it's funny because that's the thing. Like, you know, there are some potential downsides to following the racing too closely, and one of them is the gambling and, you know, some other stuff like that. And so there is a little bit of a push and pull there about exposure, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. But it's, you can gamble all you want. It's still a pretty neat sport. I mean, it's fun to watch. It gets you going, and it's just a nice sport to follow.
All right, Andy. Well, I really appreciate your time, and folks can find you on Twitter at @aform3. I follow Andy. I think he's a worthwhile follow, so check him out, and we'll see you on the Twitter box.
Yeah, you got it, Jason. Thanks.
All right, Andy Formanino joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout. You're in the barn.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Andy Forminio at @aform3 for joining us for the inaugural edition of Meet the Tweeter. I think it's really fun to try to, you know, put voices and faces to the folks we interact with on social media. If you want to join me for a future episode of Meet the Tweeter, email me barn@betamerica.com, or you can find us on Twitter @BetAmerica. One thing I wanted to talk about before we wrap up today's show, I was having a debate/discussion yesterday about coupled and uncoupled entries at the races. And I don't know if it's more particularly in stakes races or just in general, but the debate happened because of a stakes race. Todd Pletcher had, I think, 4 out of 7 horses in a race, and one of them interfered with another horse in the race, and then, of course, one of Pletcher's other horses won, and Sam the Syrup Man, who's on our barn jury, he was a little bit upset about the whole situation and saying that's why we need coupled entries. And I've always been on the stance that when I was in Oregon, we got rid of coupled entries about my second year. And as an announcer, it was great because I didn't have to deal with 1 and 1A anymore. But I just thought it was better because, you know, you have bigger field size and you have more betting interest. And one of the worst things as a handicapper was to, like, let's say you like the 1A, who should have been 8-1, but is 2-1 because his stable mate, you know, was probably going to be 3-1 or 5-2. And so it drags the odds down on that. And no matter who wins, you know, you're going to get that lower price. And that drove me nuts. And I hated that. Like, I would rather have separate betting interests, bigger fields, and, you know, hopefully bigger pools to bet in because of it. But the other side of that debate seems to come from a point of preventing cheating. And the people who seem to be most upset about it, like Sam and some others, are people who think the cheating is rampant as far as, you know, trainers playing games. And I think we see it, you know, the term we hear a lot, especially it seems like in Southern California, is the other. You know, you hear about the other O'Neill or the other Baffert, and it's when there's two horses in a race from one trainer and one of them's 7-5, but the 8-1 is the one who ends up winning. And I think some folks think that that's, you know, trainers playing games. That's an actual quote I heard yesterday from somebody. And then I always say, well, maybe that's part of the handicapping puzzle is, you know, you figure out, you know, when so-and-so's trying to, you know, get a big price on a horse. I don't know. I've always maintained that I would prefer no coupled entries at all. But, you know, in a race where a trainer has 4 out of 7, to me it rings maybe a little more necessary than when a guy has 2 out of 11 horses in a race. But I don't know. Something to think about. And if you have an opinion on the subject, again, you can contact me, barn@betamerica.com, or on Twitter you can find us @betamerica. Those are the two best ways to get a hold of the show. And we always appreciate interaction. Folks have been so cool about the show here in the first couple of months. In fact, yesterday was the 2-month anniversary of the barn launching. The barn launched on January 6th. And so we're 2 months into this whole venture. This is barn episode number 35. I know down the road, I definitely want to do a state of the barn address. And I also, you know, maybe want to get like the Bet America CEO on and talk about the state of Bet America or something like that. There's all sorts of fun stuff we can do. I know my birthday's coming up in a couple months. We'll definitely have a special birthday episode. My goal for that, I'm gonna make my boss do all the arranging. I'm gonna ask for about 10 guests that I want him to arrange, surprise guests for that show. But, you know, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. We still got the Horse Player World Series coming up in a few weeks. I'm going to go to Santa Anita before that and do some live reporting. Part of me wants to go down there for the Big Cap, but I had planned originally on going the week after the Big Cap. But I'm going to make that decision probably by Tuesday because I would have to leave by about Wednesday to get on the road, and, you know, because I'm a chicken and I don't like to fly and I need my car. So, yeah, so that kind of kills that whole thing. But the Big Cap coming up next week, I'm pretty excited about it. My buddy Raider Mike is a huge FNX fan. FNX was out galloping yesterday and he was down taking pictures of that. And, the Big Cap, for some of its luster, has been stolen over the years a little bit from the Dubai World Cup, but it's still one of my favorite races, and it's going to be a fun addition this year. It's always a fun addition. The Big Cap is just a cool race. And I'm a West Coast guy, so I'm probably always going to be a little bit West Coast biased. And, you know, I talk to my friends who are on the East Coast, and they'll admit to being East Coast biased as well. So we all have our own biases and prejudices. But anyways, my thanks to Andy Forminio for joining us, and my thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here in the Bet America Radio Network. We look forward to catching up with you guys tomorrow, Tuesday episode of The Barn coming up, and lots more fun and frivolity on the Bet America Radio Network. Don't forget, you can also check out past shows in The Barn. Just go to betamerica.com/extra and look up Barn. You can go all the way down. You can see, and it'll just be shows. And that has every show we've ever done. You can also click on latest episodes, but the quick way to do it is just to go for shows, and it'll get you all set up. So my thanks again to Andy and to everybody for joining us, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful Monday.